When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Mead. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Looney Lewis. And today I do have the honor and privilege of introducing a very special guest to the show, Michael Kaplan. He is a professional lecturer in law, the George Washington University Law School, the legal aspect of traumatic brain injury. He has been elected to serve as chair of the New York State Traumatic Brain Injury Service Coordinating Council, a position he previously held for about 7 years. He is a partner in the New York law firm, the Carroll and Kaplan, specializing in personalized injury cases with a special focus on representing victims of traumatic brain injury. And that can be caused from collision, walking down the street, you name it, building construction. If you've got a brain injury, Michael Kaplan is your guy. And that's why I'm thrilled today to bring him on the show. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lewis. It's a pleasure to be working with you this morning.
It is an honor. So I know you are in New York. I hear the New York accent and I can definitely relate to it since I grew up in Brooklyn. Tell us a little bit about your background, your journey.
Well, thank you. You know, it's a long journey because I've been doing this now for 40 years. In that time, I've been primarily in a small law practice with my partner and concentrated on personal injury matters, medical malpractice matters, and traumatic brain injury cases. And as I said, for 40 years, this is what we've been doing and deliberately keeping our practice small so we could concentrate and give our clients individual attention. I know you have a lot of entrepreneurs listening to your show today. And one of the reasons that we've deliberately kept it small, in addition to being able to give our clients personal attention, is that when you get too big, you lose that personal touch, but you also are spending a lot more money in expenses for staff. And at the end of the day, it's been our philosophy that you don't gain anything more from it except a lot of headaches.
Yeah, a lot of energy, wasted energy spent on the things that are not moving the needle towards revenue or growing the business.
Yes, and you end up with sometimes, unfortunately, very dissatisfied clients as well. So it's better to give everybody that personal touch and be responsive with my partner to every client and keep a very small staff so we don't spend our day managing a staff and doing bookkeeping and doing what we like to do, which is the practice of law.
Yeah. Why the focus? Why brain injury? What that niche?
Well, you know, we got into this niche by accident, like so many other things in life. The journey that you take has a lot of different twists and turns to it. Sometimes you find your calling without knowing at first that you were going to find it. And our journey with brain injury began when we were representing an individual from Brooklyn who was driving his car innocently, and he was hit by a truck that lost its brakes because the truck wasn't properly maintained. And it was a bad crash, and our client had a lot of physical injuries, fractured bones, things of that nature, which he made a very good recovery from. But he was left with memory problems and concentration problems and the inability to really work with people that he was working with before at work because he suffered a concussion. Mm-hmm. But you couldn't see that concussion. You could see broken bones on the x-ray. You know that he had casts on and it was in the hospital for a lengthy period of time. And that was something that you could appreciate. But we're going back many years now when we were talking about a concussion. That was something that was new to at least myself and my partner, and we couldn't understand why he was having the difficulties that he was having. Yeah. And not only we, but everybody else around him couldn't understand why he was having these problems. And obviously, that left our client very, very frustrated. But we believed that this was all real and he was really going through this, not only because he told us, but we interviewed family members and friends and people he worked with, and everybody was saying the same things to us. Our client was just not the same person anymore that he was before the accident. So it became a journey for us to understand why he was having the problems that he was having. And this invisible injury of brain injury and concussions really fascinated us. So with our background in medical malpractice, working with the brain and working with neurologists and other medical professionals who understood the problems that he was having, was not a big jump for us to get into it. But it's a journey that we've continued to this day, trying to assist people with this invisible injury. And it's an invisible injury, I got to tell you, that has really become a public health crisis and epidemic in this country. Mm. Because we know from what the Centers for Disease Control tell us, that at least 5.2 million Americans are living with long-term disabilities as a result of brain trauma.
It's hard to detect it unless they do the MRI or they know specifically that's what they're going in for.
Well, here we go. That's a misapprehension. Ooh. Because many times these tests are normal. The MRI won't show the brain injury because the injury is just too microscopic of the nerves to show up on these MRI scans that are not sensitive enough. So I know you have a PhD and you're not a medical doctor. So you come to this with a thinking, well, the MRI is going to show that the person had a brain injury, but it doesn't. So now people like yourself say, well, what's wrong with this person? Everything seems normal. The X-ray, the MRI is normal. But the fact that these tests are normal doesn't mean that the injury isn't real.
How do you detect it?
Well, that's the big problem that we have. We have in court how to prove that this injury is real. It's a problem our clients have in many aspects of their life because it's difficult to detect. And primarily right now, it can be detected through neuropsychological testing where we test a person's memory and concentration and their ability to do different, more than one thing at the same time, multitasking. And we try to go back to the time of the accident to see if they had any alteration of consciousness and kind of symptoms that they developed at time, because the diagnosis of brain injury is based right now primarily on the symptoms that a person has, the physical symptoms of headaches.
Yeah, and then that's later on because you're not on the onset, right? Because the court and the trial date is way later after the accident took place. So I kind of like the football field. You know, you can readily see someone has a concussion and you know, the symptoms are there. Like say a football player gets tackled. I imagine with the regular person, that it's so much more months later and you don't have a threshold to compare it to, right? With the testing, you know, how they will compare pre and post accident and how the court can use that as real evidence.
Right. You're absolutely correct. With sports individuals, sometimes we have the benefit of instant replay and we have people watching what's going on a playing field. So you see the two players crashing, hitting their heads together. Yeah. You see a player falling and hitting their head on the ground. Yeah. And we see that they got up and they're dazed and they're confused and they're stumbling around. But unfortunately, sometimes these players don't tell us about their physical symptoms themselves. They hide it. They don't tell us about headaches, dizziness, vomiting, seeing stars, being sensitive to the bright lights or sounds. They don't want to reveal that they had that injury. But with our clients, many times they go to the emergency department. So we're able to look at the hospital records and see that they made these complaints and put everything together. But then again, the most important test for a brain injury is life, how they're doing. So I need to speak to people like yourself, who are good observers of individuals, to understand the changes that you see in the person from before this occurrence took place and what you're seeing now. That's test of a brain injury to help us in our cases, because we could bring these individuals to court and they can testify in front of the jury to the changes in the individual. And then a medical professional can combine that with the complaints they made at the time or shortly after the accident took place in the hospital records. And we could determine the crash itself and look at photographs and perhaps speak to people who were at the scene, people sometimes that we don't even think about, tow truck operators, police eyewitnesses, and just tell us how is the person acting at the time or shortly after the time of the accident.
Yeah. I imagine you play a big role in the life of just not the clients, but their family's life, right? Because your whole life is impacted when you incur a brain injury.
That's true. A brain injury just doesn't affect the individual, affects everybody around them. And what we hear from individuals who are married from their spouses is they tell us they're now married to a different person. Oh. It's not the same individual anymore, either because of their physical problems, either because of behavioral issues that they have now, acting out in different ways, being overly emotional, saying things that are improper because there's no break on what we say. There's no control sometimes in that individual. Other times these individuals have sleep problems or they have severe emotional problems. Depression develops quite frequently as a result of this injury. And the spouse is no longer really a spouse. Sometimes they become a caretaker to that individual. And that really changes the nature of the marital relationship. And if you don't think of couples, but you think of a parent and a child, you have similar problems. A parent is no longer a parent sometimes to one of these individuals. They're now a nurse.
Right.
And sometimes these individuals need round-the-clock care and supervision and guidance. If I could tell you a story about that, it might be useful.
Yeah, let's do that. I love stories.
You know, I teach a course in brain injury law at the George Washington University Law School. And this is sometimes what I tell my students to help them understand what we're talking about with an individual who had a brain injury. I tell them that I have two children. I have a 5-year-old child and I have a 7-year-old child. And these children are capable of getting up in the morning and washing their faces and brushing their teeth. They could go to the refrigerator and they could pour themselves a bowl of cereal. In the evening, they know that they could take a shower. They have to take a shower or a bath and what time they need to go to sleep. They even know, hopefully, that they have to come home from school and do their homework. Mm-hmm. And I could go on with this story in things. So these children are independent. So I guess that means that my wife and I could go on vacation and leave these children at home. If I did that, I'd be arrested for doing that. But it's the same when you have an individual who has sustained a brain injury. They could do the everyday things at times at home, but they have impaired judgment. Their reasoning, they have problems in their financial affairs, things that you just don't think about and aware of, and they need constant supervision and help and assistance. What they really need is a person with another brain to fill in the gaps that they're having. And that's very difficult for people to understand because it's something we're just not familiar with and we take for granted at times. And if you go to our website, www.brainlaw.com, we have some videos about what it's like living with a brain injury from the perspective of the individual, from the perspective of a parent, and from the perspective of a spouse. Mm-hmm. All very helpful for your listeners to understand what it's like living with a brain injury or living with a person who has a brain injury. So they could go to www.brainlaw to see these videos.
Yeah, no, that's great for sharing. And you have helped these individuals get compensated, right? Yes. For that damage from either the employer, the city, whatever, the construction site, like whatever the company is, you've been able to advocate on their behalf.
Yes, yes. We're gunslingers. We'll sue anybody on behalf of our client for causing their injuries. If we find liability and that they were negligent and unreasonable and not using proper safety practices,
yeah,
we'll bring a lawsuit on behalf of these individuals to get them the compensation that they deserve.
Right. And you're doing this outside of the New York?
We do it in New York. We do it in Florida. We do it in the District of Columbia, Washington, and in other places. We're able to work with local attorneys that we know and work together with them and bring in a lawsuit for an individual. So we know lawyers in California that we could work with and all over the country that we join up together with, and we do a mutual representation.
That's fantastic. And how long would a case like that take?
Well, the time period is difficult to say because each state moves cases in a different fashion, but these cases usually take a period of time, certainly 1, 2, sometimes even 3 years in order to prosecute them. There's a lot of information that has to be obtained, medical records, interviews with physicians, proper testing has to be done of that individual, and then there are various court proceedings that have to take place even before you get to the courtroom for trial.
Yeah.
So it could take a while.
Yeah, you could take a while. And you become families with these individuals as well. You've been with them for so long, ensuring that they get the right treatment and the right care.
They become our family and they become our friends. And I'm happy to say that they become our friends for life, because even after the case is over, we still keep in touch with our clients who remain our friends, and they still come to us and seek advice and assistance and referrals for the help that they need, because unfortunately, many times a brain injury is going to last a lifetime.
Right. And I can see that. Yeah, I can totally see where that would play in. I was going to ask you a question about the law during the COVID time. How has it changed? How are you navigating this shift in attorneys and judges? How's the system adjusting?
Well, like everybody else, we're working remotely for the most part. Today, I'm in my office here in New York. We're allowed to return. But of course, we have to be very careful wearing masks and social distancing. So it's very difficult to meet with people right now in person. The courts have nothing going on in person right now. Everything is remote. So look, in the beginning of March, I never heard of Zoom. I mean, tell me Zoom, I could think of it as a cartoon. I had no idea what you were talking about. And now I spend my entire day on Zoom. It's become the only way that we can operate.
Definitely had to adjust and make some shifts and learn some new technical skills for sure to keep business running.
And also, as a business person, invest some money in different infrastructure to make this work properly, in a good microphone, in a good web camera, and better, stronger Wi-Fi internet service.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to spend some money sometimes as an investment in order to recoup the benefits of that and be successful. Because if you don't, you're just doomed to failure. So what you invest as an entrepreneur has payback at the end. Sometimes you just can't be cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make that initial investment.
You have to invest in yourself. Yeah, I absolutely agree. Because there's no going back, right? Your brain has changed. You've acquired a new skill. There's no going back to the norm. There's no going back to what we were before March 2020. You understand? So it's only moving forward. And a lot of things that we've learned actually help our business growth, because we can reach people globally now. We've opened up our market space.
Yeah, and we have to think about everything, as you said, in new ways. Social media has become much more important to what we do, not only in communicating with our clients, but also getting our message out
mm-hmm.
in different ways. So there's, of course, a learning curve, but there are learning opportunities. And you have to take this moment in order to assess your situation and rebuild for the future. You can't just pray that everything is going to go back to the past, because the reality is, welcome to the new normal and to the new world. Things are just going to be different. No
yeah.
two ways about that.
Yeah, we've got to adjust with the times, especially as an entrepreneur. You've got to be able to be vigilant and be alert to adapt.
Yes.
You've got to be adapt. You got to make decisions quickly, but you got to be able to see the whole picture and see how you can adapt as an entrepreneur. That's business.
Right. Absolutely.
As you grow, and there's a really good quote, I think Earl Nightingale says it, your business is going to grow to your capability, to your knowledge set. So if you're learning more, you have more tools in your repertoire to enhance your business.
Right.
And so I want you to share with us today, Michael, the importance of your morning routine. How do you get up, dress up, and show up?
first I have to set the alarm because otherwise I'm not going to get up. But I set the alarm early enough because I know what I want to do in the morning before I leave my house to get ready for the day, things that I want to do before I come to my office. So the first thing I do is I must have a cup of coffee. Very important. Yeah. I can't begin that day without my coffee. Then I will sit down in front of my laptop in the house because now I have a laptop in the house as well to work with, set up the same as I have in my office. And I'll have to go through my mail before I start my day and catch up. I'll have to go look at my Facebook page. I have to go look at my LinkedIn page. I have to communicate back with everybody who has communicated with me because it's very important that you do that. You cannot leave this till, oh, I'll have some free time later on in the day. Oh, I'll do it at night. People want instant feedback right now, and they expect that you get back to them very soon after they've contacted you. So that's the best way to start the day. To start the day then when you leave your house with a clean plate that you've caught up in the morning. So that's how I start my day. Yeah. I go through my emails. I go through my Facebook. I go through my LinkedIn. I might do a post myself on LinkedIn or Facebook on something that I find interesting. And that's something that I do as my normal and ordinary routine. And then, of course, to work.
So something to generate leads.
Properly, I think it's also important to be dressed properly. I can't sit in the house in my pajamas because my mind is not to work. I have to be dressed because when I get dressed, then my mind switches into gear. So that's also some important advice that I'll leave for your listeners as well.
Yeah, and that's important to show up ready, mentally ready, to show up physically ready. The piece about dressing up is, as habitual creatures, when we put on work clothes, we know, as you say, to kick into gear, to work mode. It helps to even do that, being at home and working remotely, is to actually get up and actually do due diligence, your hair, your makeup, whatever, and your outfits, so that you show up for the people via Zoom. I find it, though, Michael, that a lot of entrepreneurs have rituals that actually prime their mind for the day. And by that, that's what I want to get into. Like, what is it that you do in terms of meditation, in terms of prayer, working out? Like, what does that look like for you to prime your mind?
Well, I'd like to get on the treadmill. Mm-hmm. I'd like to say I do that all the time, but unfortunately, I don't. I try to get onto that treadmill 3 times a week in the morning. Is one of the first things I do just to prepare myself for the day and then take my shower and wake up with my coffee before I sit down to do my morning routines. But I tell you something, I started as a result of COVID, which I found to be very helpful to me during the course of a day. I learned how to play golf.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And, you know, you can't just sit home all day long and look at this computer screen because you'll go crazy. And you have to find some kind of release. And I picked up golf. I go and escape sometime during the course of, not every day. Now it's winter in New York, so it's more difficult. But in the spring, in the summer, I went out and hit golf balls every afternoon. And it was wonderful because I don't meditate, but this was my form of meditation, whacking that golf ball.
Yeah.
And I was able to release a lot of energy and a lot of tension and escape just to be by myself and let my mind relax. And I found that to be wonderful.
Yeah.
So I would recommend that as well.
I love that you tap into the escape. Sometimes we have to be mindless because we're so busy being mindful and being focused and being present. And, you know, as entrepreneurs, we get laser focused and where we're working on one thing, we don't come up for air. We don't come up to breathe. And so when you just stated, gotta go and take your mind off things. That's crucial. That's important. And so go ahead and tell us a little bit about the benefits of checking out only to recharge.
Right. Checking out is a good word for it. As long as you check back in when you're finished.
Yeah. So please tell us, how can we connect with you? How can we find you?
Well, that's easy. Of course, you could go to my website, brainlaw.com. And my email is easy because that's michael@brainlaw.com. So you could do that. You could find us, our law firm, DeCaro and Kaplan, on Facebook. You could find us on LinkedIn, and we're always available to communicate back with with our clients and with our friends.
That's exciting. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I will put that on the show note. It has been an absolute pleasure talking to you this morning, Michael. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you, Doctor. And I look forward to speaking to you and your audience again in the future. And I wish you continued good health and safety.
I receive it. Thank you. You as well.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.